As I intimated last Lord's Day, I begin this evening a series of messages from the book of the prophet Daniel. I'm not going to attempt to expound the whole book. These are more topical or thematic messages, although I hope they will be expository. I want to preach 12 messages from the book of Daniel under the general title, God's People in Babylon. It may be that some of you would find it useful to study the book of Daniel for yourselves as we are going through these studies over the next few months. If that's the case, there are a number of excellent commentaries that you would find very helpful in studying this book. Let me just mention three commentaries that are uniformly excellent, reliable, well applied, and particularly helpful. They are all simple and easy to read. They're not for the specialist. I start with the simplest and then work up to the slightly less simple. The first would be the commentary by Stuart Olliott in the Welwyn commentary series. His exposition of Daniel is called Dare to Stand Alone. The second is a commentary by Ronald S. Wallace. Now, Dr. Wallace isn't as well known as he should be. He's a very, very fine Old Testament commentator. And this volume is in the Bible Speaks Today series, published by IVP, and it's entitled The Lord is King. Ronald S. Wallace, The Lord is King. And then the final one I would recommend is by Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. It's a commentary in the book of Daniel. In the volume I have, it was published in the Communicators commentary series, but I understand it has now been issued in a new series. Now, if you speak to Tom Blackwell, Tom will be delighted, I emphasize, delighted, to get any or all of these books for you. He will get them quickly and efficiently. You'll be getting excellent books that will be a real help to you. You'll also be helping the ministry of our Covenanter bookshop. So Stuart Olliott, Ronald Wallace, Sinclair Ferguson, any of these will be, I think, very enjoyable and helpful for you. But let's come then to our first study this evening, which I've called Setting the Scene. Setting the Scene. Daniel is a book that is misused by Christians. It's misused in two ways. There are those who are absolutely obsessed with it, and there are those who steer as far away from it as they possibly can. And both extremes are wrong. When I'm speaking about those who are obsessed with Daniel, I'm speaking about those who are given to the interpretation of biblical prophecy. Christians who have a passion for studying in enormous detail what the Bible has to say about the future. People who are fascinated by such books as Daniel and Revelation and a few other scattered chapters here and there. And they've all sorts of charts and diagrams and schemes about the detailed meaning of these prophecies. The meaning of the 70 weeks or the identity of the little horn of the fourth beast, these are meat and drink to them. They revel in these things. They're very clear dogmatic interpretations of what they mean. It sometimes seems as if the Bible is treated as a giant crossword, and a cryptic crossword at that, with difficult clues and fascinating answers. And you have a strand in Christianity who are really obsessed with these prophetic passages and their interpretations. Now, many Christians, and perhaps some of us among them, react against this imbalance by going to the other extreme and ignoring books like Daniel. We're familiar, of course, with a few stories. The fiery furnace, the fingers writing on the wall, the lion's den. We know these stories, but we tend to leave much of the rest of the book to one side as far too difficult for the ordinary person to understand. Now, both of these approaches are regrettable. God's word isn't meant to be a puzzle, and it's not for the benefit of those who like intellectual puzzles. But nor is it so obscure that we can afford to neglect it. We believe that the Bible is for ordinary believers to read, to trust, and to profit from. In fact, as we shall see, there are few books which are more relevant in 2005 than the book of Daniel. What I want to do this evening is to ease ourselves into the study by dealing with some preliminary issues. I want to say something firstly about the background to the book, then a word or two about the nature of the book, and lastly, its value or its relevance for us today. First of all, the background to the book of Daniel, the context in which it is set. Let me divide that into historical and theological. What's the historical background to Daniel? Well, we find it in the first verse of the book. I quote Daniel 1:1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The year is 605 BC. King Jehoiakim has recently come to the throne of Judah. Judah is the small southern part of what was once the United Kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon. You remember that that kingdom divided into two parts. We learnt that in the Child's Catechism. Israel and Judah. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Over 100 years earlier, in 722 BC, the northern kingdom had been invaded and taken over by the empire of Assyria. That was a century earlier. The northern kingdom vanished. The people were taken away into exile. We don't know what happened to them. Those 10 tribes were lost. For 100 years more, the small southern kingdom of Judah continued. But it was now their turn. And the major superpower in the world at this time, and it was a superpower, was no longer Assyria, but the expanding, successful empire of Babylon. Babylon had just defeated the other world superpower, which was Egypt. They'd fought a great battle, the Battle of Carchemish, and the Babylonian armies had overcome the Egyptians. And now Babylon was the supreme power in the world. And they had a very aggressive king, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar attacked this little country of Judah and attacked the capital city, captured it, and carried off into exile a group of young Jewish aristocrats, the top echelon of the Jewish society of the day, the movers and shakers, the leaders, the young people of influence. Nebuchadnezzar creamed off these teenagers and took them hundreds of miles away to exile in Babylon. And he was going to come back later in further invasions, and he was eventually going to transport most of the people of Judah off to Babylon. In other words, this is a moment of disaster for the people of God. The nation of Israel has ended. Never again, until the 1940s and 50s, was Israel to have an independent existence. That kingdom, which God had established to be a light to the nation, had been snuffed out. It was an absolutely devastating experience for the Jewish people, especially for those who are taken away into exile in a foreign land. This is the context of Daniel. It seems to them that their God, the God of Israel, has been defeated. The holy city has been invaded. The people of God are captives of the heathen. And there's that striking statement in verse 2 of chapter 1. That Nebuchadnezzar took some of the articles from the temple of God, carried them off to the temple of his God, and put them in the treasure house of his God. The furniture of the temple of God was put on show in a heathen temple, in a heathen empire. Throughout the whole of history, there had been conflict between the people of God and the people of the world, between the city of God and the city of man, between Jerusalem and Babylon. And now, Babylon has won. Babylon has won. The forces of hell have prevailed. The God of Israel has been cast down, shamed, dishonored, and defeated. His people are captives in exile, and the vessels of his temple are made fun of in the house of worship of a heathen God. And that's the note, that's the point at which the book of Daniel begins. That's the historical background. But as always, there's another way of looking at the situation. Look again at that very pregnant statement in verse 2. We're in the midst of this awful historical disaster. But what does the scripture say? The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. The Lord delivered him into his hand. God himself was involved in the defeat of his own people and the overthrow of his own city. This appalling tragedy was under God's control. It was part of God's plan. This is one of the most significant statements in the book. There's a lesson being taught here, which will be repeated constantly, is indeed one of the major themes of Daniel. Behind all the events of history, large and small, lies the purpose of God. God, you remember, had foretold this disaster when he spoke to Hezekiah, as we read from Isaiah 39, the time will come when everything in your palace will be carried off to Babylon, and some of your descendants will be taken away to the palace of the king of Babylon. God had said, this is going to happen. He had foretold it. He had prophesied it generations earlier. And all that Nebuchadnezzar was doing had been foreseen, and more than foreseen, foreordained by God. And indeed, we can go far further back than that. We can go way back to the wilderness of Sinai, before Israel entered the promised land. And back centuries earlier, God had explained through Moses the condition on which his people would enjoy his blessing and the sins which would bring his condemnation. I quote from Deuteronomy 28 and 47. because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly, therefore you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land, until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. Then the Lord will scatter you among the nations. These warnings had been disregarded. The people of Israel wouldn't listen to the prophets. They turned to idolatry and immorality. And in the end, God judged them. God punished them. God sent them into exile. And so we see here at the beginning of Daniel, there are two levels of understanding. There's the historical level and there is the theological level. The exile to Babylon was brought about by historical factors, by the changes in the international balance of power, by foolish political judgments, by wrong alliances, by military failure and military genius. But behind all of these natural explanations, it was an expression of God's judgment on his disobedient people. And please, as we study the book, keep both these explanations in mind. So much then for the context, the background of the book. Let me say something very briefly in the second place about the nature of the book. Daniel is a special kind of literature. It's called apocalyptic. Now, there's a great deal we could say about apocalyptic, but the central thing about it is this. It's God teaching us by means of pictures. We often hear that one picture is worth a thousand words. You see a picture of the damage caused by the tsunami in Southeast Asia. That picture is more vivid than a thousand words. It expresses what words cannot express. And God sometimes uses pictures. And it's rather humbling, because pictures are especially useful when we're dealing with young children or people who have limited reading ability. We give them a picture book. And so God in Daniel has given us a picture book. God's treating us as people with limited ability to understand. And in Daniel, in strange, even grotesque pictures, God is giving us illustrations about amazing events. And I say this carefully, these events described in Daniel are so far beyond our experience and beyond our understanding that we couldn't grasp them in any other way. We haven't the ability to understand these events in any other way than in pictures, in cartoons, in drawings. And the great secret in apocalyptic is to look at the picture as a whole. Don't get bogged down in details. And so in our study, we'll not be going straight through the book from beginning to end, as we do with many other books. Many passages will be left untouched. I'll be bringing material from here and there throughout the book and centering it around various topics. But my goal in it all will be to help us to understand the big picture. That's what I want you to get. The big picture. To leave the study of the book of Daniel with a clear impression about, I'm sorry, a clear impression of what it's all about. And remember this. This book is not given to provide us with intellectual puzzles. It's not given to make us experts in biblical prophecy. It's to make us better people. It's to equip us to serve God more effectively. It's to help us to do more good in the world. It's to help us to be used in a new way in the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. And as we study the book together, let us constantly ask ourselves, what is this book saying to me about my life? How am I to respond? How will this help me to live as a Christian? So Daniel is a practical book. But that brings us thirdly and lastly to the value of the book for us today. The value of the book for us today. And here we come to what is extremely practical and relevant. You remember the psalm which we just sang. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. And the exiles were asked by their captors to sing the songs of Zion. And they asked this haunting question. How? How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? How is that possible? That was their great question, these people. Everything around them spoke of the defeat of their God. Everything around them was heathen and strange and alien. These idols, this great Babylonian empire, and they're far, far away from the land of Zion and the temple of Zion. How can you sing praise to the God of Israel when you're far away from Israel? How can you sing the songs of the Lord when the Lord seems to have been defeated? And my friends, that's the question that you and I have to wrestle with. The 21st century, in many respects, is a foreign land. It's a strange land. It's our Babylon. You and I are called to live for God in a Babylon. We're called to live and work. You and I are going out to work in Babylon every day. In the communities which we live, we're living in Babylon, a world which is hostile, unbelieving, godless, a nation that is rapidly deteriorating. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? But the book of Daniel tells us of at least one young man who did sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. He sang it loud. He sang it true. He sang it faithfully for decade after decade. Daniel and his friends sang the Lord's song in Babylon. And they sang it to the praise and the glory of their God. And the book of Daniel is going to teach you and me how to sing the Lord's song in Babylon, and how to sing it to His glory and praise. And we're going to find out from this book how to cope with the pressures of a wicked world. We're going to find out how to understand and overcome the attacks of the devil. We're going to learn about God and how to know God and worship God in Babylon. This book's going to help us to learn how to relate to a heathen society. The society in which God has placed us at our work and in our leisure. This book's going to show us how to witness to our neighbours who don't know Christ. This book, I believe, will increase our faith. This book will help us to stand for God as Daniel did. This book will provide us with guidance and courage. Daniel was placed in the most difficult surroundings, and he stood for God steadfastly and sang the Lord's song in a strange land. And there's nothing more important than that the Christians of tomorrow, you young people in particular, should be adequately equipped to do this. We need a whole host of Daniels in our day who dare to stand alone, who dare to sing the Lord's song loud and clear in Babylon so that people hear it, to live in the world to the glory of their Lord. The book, I believe, is enormously valuable for the individual believer. But secondly, it's valuable also for the church as a whole. Because we're not just individuals. We're parts of the body of Christ. We're concerned about the well-being of the Christian church. And the prospect today is dark in our country. Far from bright, there are many parallels with the exiles in Babylon. They were discouraged. They were defeated. They were working and witnessing in the most unpromising circumstances. And yet in that context, we have in Daniel God's promises to his people. God's determination to build his church. And we'll see how again and again the Lord's people seem to be threatened with extinction. They're thrown into a fiery furnace. They're thrown into a lion's den. But again and again, God protects his people and delivers them. And in Daniel, we will learn of the glorious future which awaits us through the victory of the risen Savior. In many respects, I believe Daniel is an Old Testament exposition of the promise of Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So it's a hugely valuable book for the church. But then thirdly and lastly, it's extremely relevant for the world. Daniel is unique among all the books of the Bible in that it is written in two different languages. From chapter 2, verse 4, the middle of the verse, to the end of chapter 7, Daniel is written in the Aramaic language. The rest of the book is written in Hebrew. Now this is absolutely unique. Why is that huge part of Daniel written in Aramaic? Well, Aramaic was the international language of the time. Aramaic was the English of the 7th century BC. Aramaic was the language which was understood throughout the whole civilized world. And the fact that God chose to write this part of Daniel in this universal international language is very significant. It's telling us that God is speaking to the whole world. God is addressing all the nations of the earth. And as we look at the book, we will see that its scope is vast. The various visions in the book show us the course of world history. Empires rising and falling. The canvas on which the Holy Spirit paints this picture is international. It is vast. And we will see the great tumultuous, confused, savage, uncertain history of the world. So the troubled history of the nations is set before us in Daniel. Why? Because what it's about is ultimately the history of the progress of the kingdom of God. Daniel makes us world Christians. Daniel delivers us from parochialism and provincialism, and shows us the whole earth and the whole history of the world. And we see empire after empire rising and falling. Man's great kingdoms tower in splendor, and then they totter into ruin. Thrones and nations rise and fall, but all the time the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing, and eventually it will fill the whole earth. And the King of Kings will have everlasting dominion. That's the message of Daniel. That the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Tremendous book. And as we stand at the beginning of a confused 21st century and look at our planet, what we need as Christians is a biblical philosophy of history. We need to understand what's happening to this world. We need to understand why things are as they are. We need to have a key, an explanation, and we'll find it here in the book of Daniel. Surely there's no message more relevant, more challenging for the beginning of a new year, a new century, a new millennium than this. So much by way of introduction. Next week, God willing, we will start by seeing how living a godly life was no easier for Daniel than it is for us. Amen. Let us bow in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this book of Scripture, which your Holy Spirit has placed within your Word. And we pray that you will help us in our imagination and sympathy to identify with your people back then in 605 BC. They still believed in you. They still believed, O God, that you ruled. But as they looked at their world, they could see very little evidence of it. So much was evil and discouraging, and the people of God were so weak, and the pressures so overwhelming. And so, Lord, we thank you for young Daniel and for his friends, whom you raised up to sing your song, and that they were enabled to sing it loud and clear and true to your glory and to our encouragement. And we pray that in these weeks we will come to understand more clearly the God who reigns, the Christ who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose kingdom is advancing in power until every I shall see him, and every knee bow before him, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, Help us to dare to be Daniels in our own day and in our own world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.